Rosie whispered.
For you? And Gabe and Chase?
Gabe and Ash exchanged quick what-the-fuck looks.
What was the message, Josie? Don't try to talk if it hurts you, though. We have plenty of time to talk later when you're not in pain.
She licked her lips, her tongue bright red with blood. Ash was shaking from head to toe now as his reaction set in. This was bad. If she was coughing up blood, it meant she was fucked up on the inside. People died from internal injuries.
Said nothing?
She broke off and choked, more blood seeping from her lips. Ash was panicking now.
Where was the goddamn ambulance?
She took a long moment, and for a second, Ash thought she'd slipped into unconsciousness.
Josie. Josie, stay with me, baby. Fight it. Stay awake. Can you do that for me? Open your eyes, baby. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. The ambulance is on its way. They'll be here soon, and they'll take care of you. I'll take care of you, he choked out, tears knotting his throat.
Her eyelids fluttered, and she trained her unfocused eyes on him, pain glittering brightly in their depths.
Said nothing, you old dear. He's safe. Said you ruined him. And now he's going to ruin you.
Gabe went white even as he grabbed his phone. He stepped back and away from Josie and Ash, but Ash could hear him talking to Jace, telling him to make sure Mia and Bethany were safe. Then he told Jace to meet him and Ash at the hospital. The sound of a siren sent relief coursing through Ash's veins. He jumped to his feet, but Gabe stopped him.
I'll get them in. You stay with Josie,
Gabe bit out. Ash dropped back down, bending over Josie so she'd know he was here.
The ambulance is here, baby,
he soothed.
They'll get you to the hospital, and I'll be with you every step of the way. You'll be okay, darling. I won't let you be anything else. Stay with me. I love you. I love you so much.
She tried to lift her right hand and then whimpered in pain.
Hand hurts. What's wrong with it?
He stared in horror at the obviously broken fingers.
Son of a bitch.
They'd broken her fingers. He was precariously close to losing his composure. He wanted to get his hands on the sons of bitches who did this to her. He'd kill the bastards with his own hands. Forcing himself to focus on her and pushing everything else from his mind, he captured her wrist, holding it gently so she wouldn't let it fall back to the floor and hurt herself even more. Then he kissed the swollen fingers ever so gently as tears gathered in his eyes.
Just some broken fingers, he said shakily. Nothing the doctor won't fix right up. My painting hand,
she said as more tears squeezed from her swollen eyes.
Shh, it's okay, baby. You'll be back to painting before you know it.
Even as he spoke, his gaze caught on the two paintings propped against the wall, dark, full of turmoil. He'd done that to her. He'd taken her vibrancy away, the essence of her work. These weren't the Josie he knew and loved. This was Josie hurting and expressing her emotions in the only way she knew how. The EMTs burst through the door and into the living room, immediately assessing Josie's condition. Ash moved back so he didn't interfere, but he stayed close, hovering anxiously as they went through the assessment. Decreased breath sounds on the left side, the paramedic said grimly as he pulled his stethoscope away. Get the O2, he barked at his partner.
How bad is it?
Ash demanded. The paramedic shook his head. No way to know without x-rays. I'm guessing she has several broken ribs, probably punctured a lung.
Be careful with her hand, Ash said. It's broken.
She's a mess, the medic said bluntly. We need to load and go. I'll get a C-collar on her and bag her on the way.
Ash went pale. The words sounded so grim and utterly serious.
Will she live? Ash whispered, voicing his darkest fear.
Not my call, but she sure as hell isn't going to die on my watch.
A stretcher was brought in, and the medics worked quickly, securing the C-collar and then giving her oxygen. She was just as quickly wheeled out and loaded into the ambulance. Ash barely had time to jump into the back before they roared away in a rush of sirens and lights. He slid his hand into his pocket, feeling for the photo Josie had in her hand. Gabe had a hell of a lot to answer for, and then Ash was going after the son of a bitch who'd put his hands on Josie.
Chapter 32. What the fuck is going on? Jace demanded as he strode into the ER waiting room. Ash turned and then motioned Gabe and Jace into one of the smaller private rooms where doctors met with families.
We have a serious problem, Ash said grimly.
What the hell happened to Josie? Jace asked. Gabe called, worried about Mia and Bethany, told me to lock them both down and make sure they were safe. I called Caden Ginsburg and now I have two very pissed off women because I made Caden sit on them both, and they're scared and want to know what the fuck is going on, which I couldn't tell them because I don't know myself. Ash held up his hand and then reached into his pocket with the other. He pulled out the photo that was in Josie's hand and held it out to Gabe. Gabe's face was a mixture of shock and rage. And then, oddly, guilt. He went gray and then staggered back to sit in one of the chairs. He buried his face in his hands, the photo crumpled in his fist. Jace snatched the photo from Gabe, and then he went pale as he stared at his sister, naked, tied up, another man trying to force himself on her.
What the fuck is this?
Jace's explosive demand echoed through the room.
Josie was holding that when I got to her, Ash said quietly. And then, she told me the man who beat the crap out of her had a message for me, you, and Gabe.
What?
Jace said in disbelief. He told her that nothing we held dear was safe from him. That we ruined him and now he was going to ruin us. I'd say Josie was probably the first target because she was the easiest. She was alone and vulnerable. It would be a lot harder to get to Mia or Bethany.
I want to know what the fuck that picture is about, Jace said in a furious tone. That was Charles Willis in that photo. Is he the one who hurt Josie and is threatening us now?
Yes,
Gabe said bleakly.
What do you know that you haven't told us?
Ash asked in a dangerously low tone. It was obvious by the look on Gabe's face that there was a lot that Ash and Jace evidently didn't know. Gabe rubbed a hand wearily over his face, his eyes sick.
What I have to say is going to piss you both off. I thought it was behind me and Mia. I was wrong, apparently.
Yeah, I'd say so, Jace bit out. What the fuck did you do, Gabe?
When Mia and I were together before, when we were keeping it a secret from you, right before we went to Paris on business, my ex-wife came into my office, saying all sorts of crazy shit. Then she accused me of being in love with Mia, accused me of being in love with her when I was still married to Lisa. It hit me all wrong. I wasn't ready to admit my feelings for Mia, and in an effort to distance us, to prove to myself that she was just sex, I set up a thing in Paris.
What kind of thing? Ash growled.
Gabe blew out his breath.
Mia and I had discussed before her interest in being with another man. With me, I mean. I guess kind of like you and Jace, sharing women. So I set it up that Charles Willis and two other men were in our hotel room. Jesus, this is complicated.
Jace stared stonily at Gabe, his eyes glittering with anger.
Things got out of hand. I was going to let them touch her, nothing else. I made it clear they weren't to do anything but touch, which meant keeping their dicks in their pants. But as soon as it began, I knew it was wrong. I realized what I was doing, but before I could put a stop to it, Charles got rough with Mia. He was trying to shove his dick down her throat, and then he hit her when she protested.
Son of a bitch, Jace swore. What the fuck, man? How could you do that to her? What were you thinking?
Gabe held up his hand.
There's more. It gets worse. Jesus, Ash muttered. When we got back, Charles confronted Mia outside the office building when she went out to get us something to eat. He tried to blackmail her into giving him information on the bids. He knew I had no intention of doing business with him, but he figured if he bid low enough, we wouldn't have a choice. He showed her that picture and said that if she didn't give him what he wanted, that he'd go public with it.
Unfucking real, Jace growled.
Mia came to me instead of caving in, and I took care of the matter. Or at least I thought I had, Gabe said wearily.
Ash's jaw bulged. Rage smoldered through him like a wildfire.
I'll handle it, Gabe said quietly. I fucked up. I'll make sure that son of a bitch doesn't get his hands on Mia or Bethany, and I'll make sure he pays for what he did to Josie.
No, Ash said, the word whipping through the room like a gunshot. Gabe and Jace both looked at Ash with narrowed eyes.
You had your chance, Ash said in an even tone. I'll take care of the little bastard.
Jace's face flashed with alarm.
Don't think that's a good idea, man. Your emotions are running high. Let me and Gabe take care of this.
I said no, Ash snapped. This is mine. Gabe had his chance. He fucked up. I'm not leaving this to him.
Ash,
Gabe began, but Ash silenced him with a look.
If it were Mia or Bethany lying in a hospital bed, bruises, broken bones, punctured lung, and God only knows what else, would you just sit back and let someone else take care of the asshole who did that to her?
Jace's lips twisted, and then he sighed.
No, I wouldn't.
But Jesus, man, after what went down with Michael, this is too risky. You got away with the first. You won't get away with this. Charles Willis has nothing to lose. He's not going to sway under threats. You touch him, and he'll have your ass in a sling.
Who said anything about threats? Ash asked calmly.
In my world, threats are meaningless unless you do something to back them up. I have no intention of threatening Charles Willis, but I have every intention of taking him down.
Gabe and Jace exchanged worried looks, but Ash ignored them. They'd try to talk him down, but in this, he would not be dissuaded.
This won't touch you. It damn sure won't touch Mia, Bethany, or Josie. Not ever again. You don't have to worry. You won't be remotely tied to this.
Oh, fuck you, Jace said rudely. The hell I'm letting you take this shit on by yourself. We've already been over this. You never have to ask. We'll always have your back.
Means a lot, Ash said quietly.
But I'm not pulling my family down. You and the girls mean far too much to me.
I'm not going down either.
You can take that to the bank. No way in hell I'm leaving Josie to survive on her own. I'm going to be there for her every step of the way, and she will never have to worry about some asshole with a grudge against us using her to get to us. That will not happen again.
What are you going to do?
Gabe asked quietly.
You're better off not knowing, Ash replied.
Gabe ran a hand through his hair.
Jesus, man, this is on me.
You had your shot, Ash said carefully. Not saying you did wrong, but whatever you did was not enough. I'm going to make sure that this time it is. He didn't beat your woman half to death, even if she was the intended mark. He fucked Josie over, and I'm going to make damn sure that never happens again.
Why the fuck didn't you tell us this before? Jace said to Gabe. Can't believe you kept this from us, especially if you didn't make damn sure Charles wouldn't be a threat in the future.
I couldn't tell you when it happened, Gabe said between his teeth. Mia was freaking because she didn't want her brother to know what kind of relationship we had, or that we even had a relationship. And then after, it didn't seem so important. He went away.
Months passed, and he seemed to disappear off the face of the planet. I thought he wasn't going to be a problem any longer.
What you did was piss him off to the point that he beat the shit out of Josie, and now he's gunning for Mia and Bethany, Jace said in a furious tone.
You need to close ranks around the girls, Ash said, veering the subject away from Jace's fury. He had a right. Mia was his sister. But that wasn't what was important right now. The women's safety was all that mattered.
Hell yes, Gabe growled. They'll go nowhere until he's taken care of.
Ash nodded.
And I'll let you know when the issue has been resolved.
Jace's expression was still uneasy, but he kept silent, though it was obvious that he and Gabe weren't finished with their conversation.
Mr. McIntyre.
Ash whirled around to see a nurse standing in the doorway. He rushed forward.
How is Josie? He demanded. Can I see her yet?
The nurse smiled.
The doctor will see you now. She'll update you on Josie's condition, and then you can ask her if you can go back. Stay right here while I let her know where you are.
Ash fidgeted with impatience. It had been too long with no word, and he was slowly losing his mind. He didn't like that Josie was alone, or at least surrounded by strangers. She'd wonder where he was. He'd sworn to her that he wasn't leaving her, that he would be with her every step of the way. How could he keep that promise when he'd been barred from her room while they gave her treatment?
A moment later, a woman dressed in scrubs walked in the door. She looked young. The ponytail her hair was pulled back in, contributing to her youthful appearance.
Mr. McIntyre?
Yes, that's me, Ash said, stepping forward. She extended her hand and firmly shook his.
Dr. Newton.
I'm the ER doctor handling Miss Carlyle's care.
How is she? Ash asked anxiously.
When can I see her?
The doctor's expression softened.
She's pretty banged up.
Of most concern is the traumatic pneumothorax. I've inserted a chest tube to help suck out the air trapped between the lung and the chest cavity, and it will also help the lung reinflate. We're going to be closely monitoring her for infection, as well as seeing how the lung heals. Right now, I don't think she requires surgery, but a surgeon will be consulted and he'll make the final determination. She has several broken ribs, a concussion, and broken fingers on her right hand. She also has a hairline fracture of her right wrist, numerous contusions, and other more minor injuries. She was badly beaten, Mr. McIntyre. She's lucky to be alive.
Ash blew out his breath while Gabe and Jace swore softly behind him.
Can I see her?
You can go in.
She's back from X-ray and she'll be moved to ICU as soon as the paperwork gets done on her admission. I can't say with any authority how long she'll remain in ICU. That will be up to the internal medicine physician assigned to her care, but you can stay with her until they move her up to the unit. They're usually pretty lenient about letting family members back even when it's not the scheduled hours.
I'm not leaving her, Ash bit out. The doctor's expression was sympathetic.
I understand.
And as I said, they're usually pretty lenient. Unfortunately, when she's first moved, you'll have to wait until they get her settled, but they'll let you know when you can go back.
Thank you, Ash said in a low voice. I appreciate all you've done for her.
That's my job, Mr. McIntyre, she said in a cheerful voice. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have other patients to attend. If you like, I'll walk you back and show you which room she's in.
Ash turned to Gabe and Jace.
Are you going to let me and Bethany know what happened? They'll be worried about Josie.
We'll let them know, Jace said. I'll have Caden drive them here and they'll stay with us until we leave.
Ash nodded and then turned back to follow the doctor to Josie's room. When he walked into the small cubicle where Josie was, he sucked in his breath and tears burned the corners of his eyes. It hurt to breathe. His chest was so tight that his hand automatically came up to rub it, trying to rid himself of the discomfort.
Jesus, he whispered.
It gutted him that she was lying in a hospital bed all because some asshole had an axe to grind with him and Gabe and Jace. He went to her bedside and tentatively reached out a hand to stroke her forehead. He smoothed her hair back and then leaned down to brush his lips across her brow.
I love you, he murmured. I'm here, with you, just like I said I'd be. I'll always be here, Josie. You and me are forever, baby. Not letting go of that.
She lay perfectly still. The only sound, the low hum of the machine that made oxygen flow through the mask over her face, and the steady beeping of the heart monitor. She looked so fragile, bruised and swollen. The blood had been cleaned away, but the dark purpling of the bruises was already vivid against her pale skin. He touched her neck where the collar he'd given her had rested. It looked bare. He wanted that collar back around her neck, wanted his ring on her finger and her promise to marry him. He wanted to tie her to him in ways she'd never escape. But they'd be the most loving, silken ties in the world. He'd pamper her, cherish her, adore her every single day of his life. He stood at her bedside for 2 hours, only moving when one of the nurses came to check on her. And then finally, they came to move her to ICU. To his frustration, they told him it would be a while before he was allowed back to see her. But that was okay, because he had the problem of Charles Willis to take care of. The sooner he was out of the picture, the sooner they could all relax and not worry that Mia or Bethany would be next. After updating Gabe, Jace, Mia, and Bethany on Josie's condition, and exacting a promise from them to stay with Josie until he returned, he strode out of the hospital, determined to seek vengeance on the bastard who'd put Josie there. Chapter 33. Pain. It came to her piercing like a nail being driven into her head by a hammer. She hurt everywhere. It hurt to breathe. It hurt to open her eyes. There were voices, or at least one voice. It was hard to tell because there was a roaring in her ears she couldn't make go away. And then a warm, gentle hand on her forehead. A kiss. Sweet, soft words whispered over her skin. She gave a little sigh and promptly regretted it because pain speared through her chest. "Hurts," she said in a pitiful voice that she wasn't even sure was actually audible.
"I know it does, baby. The nurse is coming to give you something for pain."
She whispered.
"Yes, darling, it's me. Open those pretty eyes and you'll see me right here."
She tried. She really did. But her eyes wouldn't cooperate, and it hurt to try and force the issue.
"Can't," she managed to get past stiff, swollen lips.
Again, he pressed his lips to her brow, and she felt his hand in her hair. That felt nice. The only part of her that wasn't hurting.
"It's okay," he soothed. "Don't try too hard. Just know that I'm with you, and you're going to be all right."
But still, she wanted to see him. Wanted to make sure her imagination wasn't playing nasty tricks on her. So she braced herself against the pain and tried harder. A small sliver of light seared her eyeballs, and she promptly shut her eyes again. She lay there, nearly panting with exertion and the agony such a small movement had caused. Then she tried again, this time prepared for the light. At first, all she saw was a blurry haze, and then he moved into her line of vision.
"Hey, gorgeous," he said softly.
She tried to smile, but that hurt too. So she just lay there slowly blinking to bring him into sharper focus.
"Hi,"
she returned just as quietly. To her utter shock, his eyes were glossy with moisture, and he looked like hell. He hadn't shaved, his hair was rumpled, and his clothes looked like he'd slept in them. She licked her lips and moaned softly.
"What happened to me?"
Ash frowned, his eyes going dark.
"You don't remember?"
She concentrated hard, but it was all a blur.
"How long?"
He touched her hair, his expression worried.
"How long what, love?" "Have I been here?"
2 days, he said. Her eyes widened in surprise despite the discomfort it caused her.
2 days?
"Yes, baby. You've been in ICU for 2 days. Gave us quite a scare."
"Am I going to be okay?"
It was a question she was afraid to ask, but she had to know. She wouldn't hurt this much if it wasn't bad. His face softened, his eyes going warm and loving.
"You're going to be fine.
I won't allow any other possibility."
"Sorry,"
she said with a sigh. His head came back in surprise.
"What the hell are you sorry for?" "I overreacted," she said. "I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. I was going to call you, but then..."
And it was then she remembered everything that had happened. She sucked in her breath at the impact the memories had. Her terror, her pain, the worry that she was going to die. Tears welled, burning her eyes.
"Oh, baby," he said in an aching voice. "Don't cry. And don't apologize. You have nothing to be sorry for. Nothing at all." Who are they?
She whispered.
Why did they do this? Why do they hate you and Gabe and Jace?
He closed his eyes and then leaned down, touching his forehead to hers. Let's not talk about this right now, darling. I don't want to upset you. I'd rather talk about how much I love you and what I'm going to do to pamper you and spoil you while you recover. She had to ask another question, had to know where they stood, and if she'd screwed up any chance of them being together.
Are we back together?
He smiled. So sweet and tender, it warmed her to her toes and took away some of the overwhelming pain. Relief shone in his eyes. Bet your ass we are. Her own shoulders sagged in relief.
I'm glad,
she said softly. God, baby, it's torture being so close to you and unable to hold you and kiss you the way I want.
I'm just glad you're here.
I wouldn't be anywhere else. She closed her eyes as fatigue and the pain grew stronger. It was becoming overwhelming, and she had so many questions. She needed answers. She needed to know exactly how serious her injuries were. For that matter, she didn't even know exactly what they were. The nurse is here, darling. Bear with me a few more seconds, and the pain will be gone.
Talk to me,
she begged.
I just want to hear your voice. Stay here and tell me what happened, how bad it is. I need to know.
He wiped a hand over her forehead as the nurse injected pain medication into her IV. She felt the slight burn travel up her arm, and then, right on its heels, blessed relief. A feeling of euphoria enveloped her. She felt light and floaty, like she was on a cloud. The ceiling suddenly seemed right on top of her, and she gasped.
Okay?
Ash asked in concern.
Okay.
He went silent, and her eyes fluttered open in panic as she tried to see where he'd gone. I'm right here, darling, not going anywhere, I promise.
Talk to me,
she said again, woozy and sleepy. But she didn't want to go to sleep, not yet. He kissed her brow. Give me just a second, baby, I want to talk to the nurse about you. But I'll be right back. Can you stay awake for me?
Uh-huh.
She felt him move away. And she was suddenly cold. She hated that feeling. Fear and panic seeped all the way to her bones. Her lips chattered, but they were so swollen that it felt weird, like they were 10 times their size. Or maybe it was just the medication. Why did it hurt so bad to breathe? It was then she became aware of the oxygen blowing through her nostrils. Her chest was so tight, and her muscles ached from head to toe. Had they wanted to kill her? But no, that couldn't be the case. They'd given her a message to give to Ash. Had she given it to him? Panic flared all over again. She had to tell him. Mia and Bethany were in danger, and she'd never forgive herself if they were hurt because she hadn't warned Gabe and Jace.
Ash,
she called out as loudly as she could. Right here, baby, what's wrong? You need to slow down your breathing. You're going too fast. Can you do that for me? She sucked in a deep breath and tried to steady herself. The pressure building in her chest was intense. She dragged in another breath, blew it out, and then tried again. What is it, Josie? What are you afraid of?
Me. Bethany,
she croaked out.
He'll hurt them like he hurt me. I have to tell Gabe and Jace.
Already done, he soothed. You told us. Gabe and Jace are making sure that Mia and Bethany are safe. You don't have to worry about them. I've taken care of Britt, too. You'll be happy to know that Kai has her under lock and key. She tried to smile. She may have even managed half of one, judging by Ash's look of delight. Then she sobered, because the big question remained unanswered, and she was getting groggier and groggier. It was getting harder to stay awake. She wanted nothing more than to drift off into oblivion where there was no pain, no worries. Nothing but a black void of nothing.
Why?
Ash sighed. Didn't even try to misunderstand her.
They hurt you because of me,
he said, pain thick in his voice. Because of the business. Me, Gabe, and Jace. He's an asshole who hurt Mia before. I didn't know it. But he and Gabe have history. He was retaliating because we shut him down and refused to do business with him. It's not going to happen again, Josie. I swear to you it won't. The resoluteness of his words worried Josie. It was the same matter-of-fact way he'd spoken of Michael and the fact that Michael would no longer be an issue.
What did you do?
She whispered. Nothing you need to worry about, he said as he brushed another kiss across her forehead. She frowned, her eyes half closed already. She struggled to remain awake and focused.
That's not an answer,
she slurred out. It is, he insisted. I don't want you to worry about anything but getting better. This doesn't touch you, Josie. It never will.
Don't want to lose you,
she whispered. He stroked her hair, his eyes soft with love.
You won't lose me. Never that. I'm always going to be here. Kay.
Rest now, baby. You're about to go under. Go to sleep. I'll be here when you wake up. She fought only as long as it took to whisper the words. Words she'd never given him before.
Love you.
This time, there were tears in his eyes, turning the green to aqua pools. His breath caught and stuttered over his lips as he stared down at her. I love you too, darling. Now get some rest. I'll be here watching over you while you sleep. She gave in, closing her eyes, surrendering to the pull of the medication, but she was still aware of the warm hand cupped over her brow, and of the lips against her temple. Chapter 34.
How is she?
Mia asked anxiously when Ash walked into the ICU waiting room.
Has she woken up yet?
Ash gathered Mia in a hug and then put an arm around Bethany, who wore the same worried, grim expression. He hated that this touched them, that they'd been threatened and now had to live with that knowledge. More than that, he hated that Mia's past had been dragged into the present. Shame burned bright in her eyes. She carried guilt she had no business carrying. It wasn't her goddamn fault that Charles Willis was a fucking coward who preyed on women to get his point across. He was pissed beyond belief that Charles had put that fear in Mia and Bethany's eyes. More than that, he was enraged that Josie bore the bruises and broken bones from Charles's attack. The man would pay. It was only a matter of time. Gabe and Jace also looked expectantly at Ash as they waited for an update on Josie's condition. None of the men had slept since this all began. They were too worried that Mia or Bethany could be next, and so they'd taken steps to ensure neither woman would ever be at risk. Mia and Bethany weren't thrilled, but neither did they object.
She woke up for a few minutes, Ash said. Oh, that's wonderful, Bethany breathed. How is she doing?
She's in a lot of pain. They gave her pain medication and she slipped back under. She managed to say a few things.
She's confused.
She was very worried about Mia and Bethany. She didn't remember that she'd already warned us, so she was frantic to tell Gabe and Jace that he'd threatened Mia and Bethany.
Son of a bitch,
Jace muttered. What has the doctor said?
When will we be able to see her? Mia asked anxiously.
Maybe the next time she wakes up, Ash said. And the doctor said she's making remarkable progress. They were able to take the chest tube out, and she's breathing on her own with the aid of oxygen. They'll likely move her to a step-down unit tomorrow if she continues to do well and shows no sign of infection.
That's wonderful, Bethany said. I'm so pissed this happened to her, Mia said tearfully.
Gabe immediately went to her, wrapping his arm around her waist and pulling her into his side.
It's my fault, she continued, tears slipping down her cheeks. It should have been me, not her.
Ash scowled, and Gabe didn't look any better. Guilt weighed heavily in Gabe's eyes. He looked haggard and gray, suddenly older than his 39 years.
That's bullshit, Jace growled. It's not your fault, Mia. I won't have you saying it.
We all know it's my fault, Gabe said grimly. If I'd taken care of the asshole the first time, we wouldn't be standing here, and Josie wouldn't be lying in a hospital bed.
Ash wasn't going to refute that. If it had been him and the situation with Mia had happened to Josie, Ash would have taken care of the issue then and there. But assigning blame did none of them any good. Gabe was kicking himself enough without Ash and Jace piling more on. Jace sent Gabe a dark look that said he still hadn't forgiven the other man for what had gone down in Paris, and then afterward when Charles had tried to blackmail Mia. But Jace remained silent, his lips pressed together in a tight line. "It doesn't matter. It's been taken care of," Ash said. "There are other more important things right now." Jace shot a worried look in Ash's direction, but Ash ignored it. He wasn't about to get into specifics in front of Mia and Bethany. They had enough to deal with as it was. "I have a lot of making up to do with Josie," Ash continued. "Apart from the fact that she's lying in a hospital bed in horrific pain, there's also the issue of the paintings I bought. I hurt her by doing that and keeping it from her. I need your help."
"You know we'll do anything," Bethany said.
Ash squeezed her to him, his arm still wrapped around her.
"Thanks, sweetheart.
That means a lot."
"What do you need us to do?" Gabe asked.
"I want to arrange an art show for her, and I want to go all out. I need you to call in every favor owed you to make this huge. We can use the ballroom at the Bentley for the showing, make sure everyone who is anyone is invited, and that the show is hyped as the must-attend event of the year. Politicians, celebrities, the whole nine yards. I want Josie to have a venue where her art will shine and prove to her that she has incredible talent. She just needs the right exposure."
"Okay, when?" Jace asked. "It will have to be in a couple of months. I want to make sure that Josie is recovered enough to enjoy her big night. The last thing she'd want is to show up to her own event with bruises and a cast. But we need to start working on it now so everything goes off without a hitch."
"You got it," Gabe said.
"Thanks,"
Ash murmured.
"Means a lot, you always having my back."
Mia moved from Gabe's hold and hugged Ash fiercely.
"We love you, Ash. And we love Josie, too. We'll be happy to help. Just let us know if you need anything else."
Ash's lips curved into a half-smile.
"As a matter of fact, there is."
"Name it,"
Bethany said.
"Need you to stay here in case Josie wakes up again. I have a ring to buy."
Mia's and Bethany's delighted smiles warmed his heart. He squeezed both women to him and dropped kisses on their temples. And then he went to Tiffany's to buy Josie's ring. Chapter 35. Josie managed to sit up in bed, propped on several pillows. No small feat, considering the pain in her ribs. But after several days and a move from ICU to a step-down unit and finally to the floor, she was able to sit up and actually move some. More importantly, she was able to eat. Not that they'd busted out the real food or even something remotely palatable, but she'd been so hungry she'd fallen on the jello and pudding like it was manna from heaven. Ash had gone out to meet Gabe, Jace, Mia, Bethany, and even Brittany, and he was bringing them all in to visit with her. She was extremely self-conscious about the fact she looked terrible, but she was so anxious to have company, she didn't care. All the makeup in the world wouldn't hide her face, but hopefully the bruising would heal quickly. Already some had faded from the purple, almost black, to green and yellow. She didn't even want to know what the rest of her body looked like. She'd made it a point not to look when Ash had helped her shower. The door opened, and she eagerly looked up to see everyone spill through the door. Ash led the way, and right behind him were Mia, Bethany, and Brittany. They swarmed her bed, giving gentle hugs and exclaiming how much better she looked. They were total liars, but she loved them for it. To her surprise, Kai Wellington came in with Gabe and Jace. She arched an eyebrow in Brittany's direction, and Brittany blushed like a schoolgirl getting caught making out with a quarterback.
"He insisted on coming,"
Brittany whispered.
"He hasn't left me alone since this happened."
"Damn right," Kai growled. "Not going to let some fucker get to you and hurt you. Bad enough he got to Josie."
"He sounds so possessive,"
Josie whispered to Brittany.
"I take it things are going well?"
Brittany's eyes glowed, and she nodded vigorously.
"Oh, yes, definitely."
Josie squeezed her hand with the fingers that weren't casted.
I'm glad.
How are you feeling?
Mia asked anxiously.
Better,
Josie said. At Ash's skeptical look, she flushed.
Okay, not wonderful, but I am better. I can sit up now without feeling like my chest caught on fire, and I can breathe normally again. They took the oxygen off this morning.
That's wonderful, Josie,
Bethany exclaimed.
We've been so worried about you. How are you guys?
Josie asked in a low voice. But her question was mainly directed at Mia. Ash had told her about Mia's history with Charles Willis.
We're okay,
Mia said, but her eyes were haunted.
I still feel like it's my fault. I mean, I'm the one who pissed him off.
Josie shook her head and winced at the pain it caused.
He's an asshole, Mia. You aren't to blame for his actions.
Got that right, Ash growled.
I hate that I share a last name with him,
Bethany said, pulling a face.
I don't want anyone thinking we're related.
Mia rolled her eyes.
Like Willis isn't a common last name?
You won't have to worry about that much longer, baby, Jace said, satisfaction written on his face. Your last name will soon be Crestwell.
Bethany's face flushed with happiness, and she automatically stared down at the ring on her left hand, and it was a gorgeous ring. Huge diamond, but it didn't look gaudy at all. It was tastefully expensive, and it suited her perfectly.
Speaking of, have you set a date yet?
Josie asked. Jace looked unhappy, and Bethany laughed.
We're working on it. I wasn't planning anything until you're completely recovered and can stand for me at my wedding.
Josie's heart warmed, and she smiled big, allowing her pleasure to show.
I wouldn't miss it,
she said,
even if I'm still in a cast.
Don't wait on me. I don't want to delay your big day.
It wouldn't be the same without you,
Bethany said, putting her hand on Josie's.
I want you all there. Brittany, too. All the girls will be there. Caro has promised that she'll come even if it means flying in from Vegas.
Kai cleared his throat.
That won't be a problem.
If Brittany and I are in Vegas, by then we'll fly in on my jet and bring Brandon and Caro with us. Josie's eyes widened, and her gaze went to Brittany.
You're going to Vegas with him?
Yes, Kai cut in before Brittany could answer. Ash's eyes narrowed, but he kept silent. Josie had no doubt he'd be talking to his sister later, and Kai as well.
Thank you,
Bethany said to Kai, ducking her face in shyness.
It means a lot that you'll make sure they get to come.
Wouldn't miss it, Kai said, a smile on his ruggedly handsome face. Maybe seeing you get married will entice Brittany to take the plunge again. Her last husband was a fool to let her go, but I won't make that same mistake.
Whoa, this guy was moving fast. Josie risked another look at Brittany to see her face drawn in consternation. It seemed as though Kai wanted to move fast and that Brittany wasn't quite on board yet. Her money was on Kai, though. He struck her as being a very determined man when he wanted something, just like every other man in this room.
I don't suppose you all brought food with you?
Josie asked, hopefully.
I'm starving, and all they'll give me is clear liquids, which means lots of jello and chicken broth.
Ash sent her a look of reprimand.
No real food yet, baby. Not until tomorrow. And even then, you'll start out slow.
She sighed. It was worth a try. Maybe the girls will smuggle me in something when you're not looking.
As she said it, she sent a pleading look in the women's direction that had everyone laughing.
We're on it,
Mia said firmly, shooting Ash a glare. Ash shook his head and rolled his eyes.
Just remember, you have to get by me.
You have to sleep sometime,
Bethany said lightly.
If the smell of food just happens to wake you up, I'm sure it will be from the next room.
They all laughed, and Josie felt lightness enter her chest. Things were going to be okay. She'd get through this. The doctor had even said she could go home in the next day or two if everything continued to improve as it was doing currently. After so many days in the hospital, she was ready to scream. She hadn't even been able to get out of the bed except to shower and pee. She was dying to get up and stretch, anything but lying here in this bed all day. They talked more, laughing, joking, and chatting until Josie began to yawn, fatigue settling over her. Ash noticed and sent a not-so-subtle look in the other's direction. They immediately took the hint and announced they were leaving. They crowded around Josie's bed, giving her gentle hugs and kisses. Even Kai dropped a kiss on her cheek before stepping back to anchor Brittany to his side.
"I hate that you all are going so soon," Josie said mournfully. "It gets boring just lying here all day. I'm about to climb the walls." "We'll be back soon," Mia promised, "and we're bringing food."
Mia sent Ash another warning glare as she said the last.
"I'll be looking forward to it," Josie said.
Ash bent over her bed and kissed her softly on the mouth.
"I'm going to walk them out, darling, but I'll be right back, okay? Want me to bring you something hot to drink? Doctor said you could have coffee or hot chocolate."
"Oh, that sounds heavenly," Josie sighed. "Coffee would be perfect. I don't suppose you could bring me a latte?"
Ash grinned. "Anything for you. I'll see what I can do." "Anything except food, you mean?" Josie grumbled. He caressed the side of her head and gave her an affectionate pat. "Anything except food." She waved him away and settled back against her pillows, sagging precariously to one side. The visit had exhausted her. Maybe she wasn't quite as recovered as she wanted to think, but she was glad they'd all come. Everyone filed out of the door, and Ash turned back, sending her a look so filled with love that her breath caught in her throat. Then he turned, quietly closing the door behind him. She sighed and closed her eyes, taking the opportunity for some rest. She'd just drifted off when she heard her door open. Surely she hadn't slept that long. Ash hadn't had time to go down with his friends, get her coffee, and get back so soon. Two men in suits appeared in her doorway, and she recognized them as the detectives that had questioned her right after she'd been hospitalized. She didn't remember a whole lot about the interview. She'd been groggy, in pain, and doped up on pain medication. But maybe they'd arrested Charles. This time, she'd done what she should have done when Michael assaulted her. She was pressing charges. She wanted Charles to go to jail for what he'd done, because she was terrified of what Ash might do to him.
"Miss Carlyle, we'd like to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind. Do you remember my partner, Clinton? I'm Detective Starks. The last time we saw you was right after your attack. I wasn't sure how much you'd remember."
"I remember you, Detective Starks. And no, I don't mind. Have you made an arrest yet?"
"That's what we want to discuss with you," Stark said in an even tone.
The looks on their faces put Josie immediately on guard. She glanced between them, trying to gauge what was going on.
"Charles Willis was found brutally murdered this morning," Stark said bluntly. "We'd like to know who killed him."
Chapter 36. Josie stared at the two policemen in shock. Fear raced through her veins. Oh, God. Surely Ash hadn't... He wouldn't. Would he? Panic clutched her stomach, and she had a hard time breathing, pain jolting through her chest with the effort.
"Are you all right, Miss Carlyle?" Clinton asked with concern.
"Of course I'm not all right," she said faintly. "You just told me that the man who assaulted me was murdered."
And then another thought occurred to her. She glanced sharply at both detectives.
"You said you want to find out who killed him. Surely you don't think I'm a suspect? I'm hardly capable of killing a man in my current condition."
But Ash would be a suspect. He'd made no secret of his rage over what had happened. And worse, Josie couldn't immediately discount the notion that he could have done it.
"You're not a suspect now," Stark said in a bland tone. "But Mr. McIntyre is. Can you tell me if you know of his whereabouts last night between 7 and 10 p.m?"
Relief surged, making her lightheaded. She gripped the bed rail with her left hand because it felt like she'd pitch right over the side. If that was the time they were asking about, then Ash couldn't have done it because he had been with her.
"He was here with me," she said firmly. "You can ask any of the nurses who were on duty. He sat with me the entire night and slept on the couch over there."
Clinton was busy scribbling notes on a pocket notebook while Starks continued to stare at her until she shifted uncomfortably.
"Pretty convenient that the man who attacked you turns up dead, wouldn't you say?"
"What are you getting at, detective?" she snapped. "If you'd done your job and arrested him, he wouldn't be dead now, would he?"
"I've already told you that Ash was with me. If you don't believe me, there are plenty of other people who can support his alibi."
Starks nodded slowly. "We'll be checking, absolutely. But what about Mr. Hamilton and Mr. Crestwell? Did you see either of them last night?"
The blood seeped from her face.
"Are you crazy? Why would either of them kill Charles Willis?"
"You didn't answer the question," Clinton interjected.
"No," she said. "I didn't see them. But I'm sure if you ask them, they'll be able to tell you where they were."
"Oh, we will," Stark said grimly.
The door opened and Ash walked in, abruptly halting when he took in the two police officers. Evidently, he saw something on her face he didn't like, because his expression became thunderous. "What the fuck is going on here?" he demanded.
"Mr. McIntyre," Starks acknowledged with a dip of his head. "We're questioning Miss Carlyle and the murder of Charles Willis?"
Ash blinked, no expression betraying his thoughts.
"He's dead?"
Clinton nodded.
"Good,"
Ash said savagely. Josie gasped. He wasn't helping matters any with his declaration. Now they'd be convinced that Ash had something to do with it.
"They think you had something to do with it, Ash."
Ash arched one brow.
"Do they?"
"You don't seem too torn up over the fact he's dead," Starks commented.
Ash turned his furious gaze on the detectives.
"Take a good look at her. Now you tell me, if that was your woman that he nearly beat to death, would you be upset that someone killed the bastard?"
Clinton shifted uncomfortably, and Starks had the grace to look abashed.
"Not saying what I think," Starks replied. "What I think doesn't matter, and it doesn't change the fact that a crime was committed. I have to investigate it as I would any other murder."
"You do that," Ash said flatly. "But you leave Josie the fuck alone.
You aren't to so much as look at her unless she has a lawyer present. Are we clear? Furthermore, if you want to speak to her again, you'll call me and set up an appointment, and it won't be when she's in pain and about to drop from exhaustion. You've upset her, and that's the last thing she needs right now."
"Then perhaps you wouldn't mind stepping outside with us to answer a few questions," Stark said in a clipped tone.
"I would mind," Ash bit back. "I'm not leaving Josie. If you want to talk, I'll give you my lawyer's number, and you can arrange an interview through him."
"It doesn't have to be this difficult," Clinton broke in. "Just answer a few questions for us and we'll be on our way."
"And I've already told you what you need to do if you want to talk to either of us again," Ash said flatly.
He fished in his wallet and then pulled out a card, handing it to Starks. Neither detective looked pleased, but they backed off.
"We're going to be investigating you, Mr. McIntyre. If you had anything to do with Charles Willis's death, we'll find out," Stark said grimly.
"My life is an open book," Ash said in a calm voice. "Though, if you look into Charles Willis's business practices, you'll find your suspects. There is plenty of motive there. Do yourself a favor and spend your time looking into his dealings, and not wasting it by looking into mine. You won't find what you're looking for investigating me."
Clinton and Starks exchanged sharp glances.
"We'll be in touch," Starks said to both Josie and Ash.
Then they turned and walked out. Ash followed, closing the door forcefully behind them. He turned back, striding toward the bed, his expression fierce.
"I'm sorry about that, baby. Never thought they would have come in here like that. I'm sorry I left you alone to deal with that. It won't happen again. If they show up, you aren't to talk to them without a lawyer present. If for some reason I'm not with you, you call me immediately."
Her hand was shaking despite the grip she still had on the bed rail. Ash carefully pried her fingers away and cupped them in his hand, stroking soothingly with his thumb.
"They asked where you were last night between 7 and 10, she said, her voice quivering. "They think you did it.
I was here with you,
Ash said in a soft voice.
I know. I told them that. But they still think. And they asked about Gabe and Jace. Ash, you have to warn them. They think one of you did this. You didn't, did you?
Her voice had a pleading note she couldn't control. Ash slowly shook his head.
I didn't do it, baby. I was here with you. But did you have it done?
She whispered. He leaned over and kissed her brow, leaving his lips there a long moment.
I didn't have to. He stole from a lot of people, fucked over a lot of people, the wrong people, in his business dealings. Once they found that out, his life wasn't worth a dime.
She gave him a perplexed look when he stood back up.
How did they find out?
Ash smiled, but it wasn't a warm smile. She shivered at the darkness in his eyes. This was a man you didn't fuck with, no matter how he appeared. Laid back, charming and easygoing, underneath that carefully constructed facade was an intense man with unbreakable determination.
They may have had a little help, he said in a dark tone.
She sucked in her breath as she stared back at Ash.
So you did have something to do with his murder?
Ash shook his head.
No, I didn't.
If you're asking if I have blood on my hands, then yeah, no doubt. I slipped the right information to the right people. What they did with it was up to them.
I didn't kill him.
Didn't have him killed. But I made it possible with the information I provided.
I guess you have to decide if you can live with that. And me.
Slowly, she nodded, a little numb, but relieved, too. She couldn't face the idea of Ash going to jail because of her, of it ruining both their lives. Not when she planned a life with him.
He deserved to die.
He wasn't a good man, and that goes against everything I've ever believed in.
It's not for me to judge.
Before, I would have been appalled over justice being taken this way.
And now?
He asked quietly.
You've changed me, Ash.
I don't know if it's all good or all bad. I don't know that it's either. It just is.
You've changed me. Made me better in some ways.
Murky in others. I don't want you to ever be touched by the gray areas I'm immersed in, baby. I want you clean. I want you to shine just like you always do. We'll never talk about this again. Don't ask, and I'm not going to say. You may know things. I will not lie to you. But you will not be confronted with them. Ever. Can you live with that?
Yeah, she whispered. I can live with that. I love you, baby,
Ash said in a tight voice, filled with emotion.
I don't deserve your love or your shine, but I want it because with you I can feel the sun. I don't want to go back to those shadows. You don't have to, she said quietly. Stay in the sun, with me. Always, darling. Nothing will touch our children, Josie. You have my word. Nothing ever touches you or our kids. Gabe or Jace, Mia and Bethany, you're my family. I'd die for any one of you, and you'll all stay in the sun where you belong.
You belong there too, Ash, and I want you there with me.
She broke off, frowning as she realized what he'd said.
Wait, are we having children?
He smiled, slow and sexy, his eyes knowing. Arrogance and male confidence radiated in waves.
You're having my babies, Josie. Bank on that. How many is up to you.
I want boys first, and then a little girl, because she'll need big brothers who'll always look out for her. They'll be different from my brothers. They'll give a shit. We'll be a real family. Josie sent him a tender smile, full of her love for him.
Yeah, we'll be a real family.
I want 6. Think you can handle that? Ash looked dumbstruck. 6? Holy shit, woman.
That's a hell of a lot of knocking you up I gotta do.
She nodded solemnly.
Don't you think we should get started?
Hell yeah, he muttered. Don't want to be an old bastard when you have the last one, but you have to get well and out of the hospital before we start working on that first baby.
He reached into his pocket and pulled out a tiny box.
I wanted to do this at just the perfect moment, he said gruffly. But I can't think of a more perfect time than when we're talking about our kids and how many we'll have.
He opened the box, and Josie gasped as she stared down at a gorgeous diamond ring. It sparkled and caught the sunlight streaming through her window, dazzling her with its brilliance. He lowered himself to one knee beside her bed and gently took her left hand in his.
Will you marry me, Josie? Have my babies and put up with me for the rest of your life? No one will ever love you more than me, and I'm going to spend every day for the rest of my life making sure you know that.
The ring wobbled and went blurry in her vision as he slid it onto her finger.
Yes. Oh, yes, Ash. I'll marry you. I love you so much, and I want those babies, lots of babies.
He smiled and pushed himself back up so he could lean over, gathering her carefully in his arms. He kissed her tenderly, her heart melting.
I love you too, Josie. Never want you to doubt that. I have a lot to make up for, and I'm working on that right now. But it'll wait until you're out of the hospital and home where I can fuss over you and spoil you rotten.
She reached up with her left hand to cup his cheek, her ring sparkling on her finger.
I'm looking forward to that, my love.
Chapter 37.
I can't believe you did this for me,
Josie said in awe as she stared at the very full ballroom of the Bentley Hotel. Ash wrapped his arm around her and squeezed her tightly against him.
I didn't do anything, baby.
It's all you. They love your work. You're going to sell out in the first half hour. A bidding war has begun over your erotic series of paintings.
Josie took in the glittering array of people who were admiring her work while drinking very expensive champagne. Everyone was here. The mayor, oh my God, and there were celebrities, everywhere. She was agog at the names of some of the people in attendance, and they were here for her paintings. She glanced back up at Ash and leaned further into him.
Do you hate that they're seeing those paintings of me? I know you didn't like showing them and wanted to be the only one to see them.
He smiled and dropped a kiss on her upturned lips.
I have the real thing. What do I need the paintings for? They only get to imagine what they can't see in those paintings, but I get to see it and touch it every night. That's only for me. No one else will ever have that.
She smiled back, delighted at his response.
Now, if you ever venture into something more revealing, then yeah, I'm going to buy those. I don't care what you say. Nobody but me gets to see you completely naked.
She grinned and elbowed him in the ribs.
Don't worry. That's the extent of the bravery I have concerning me and the buff.
Thank fuck, he muttered. They don't want to have to beat the asses of any men who drool over you in a painting.
Oh, look, there are the girls,
Josie exclaimed, breaking away from Ash to go and greet them.
Josie,
Brittany cried, engulfing Josie in a huge hug.
You're famous. Have you seen all the people here going bananas over your paintings?
Josie hugged her back and smiled up at Kai, who stood indulgently to the side while Brittany attacked Josie. Mia and Bethany shoved past Gabe and Jace the minute Brittany let Josie go and hugged her fiercely.
Oh my gosh, you guys look gorgeous, Josie said, surveying the cocktail dresses worn by each. And your shoes!
Her voice dropped to a whisper.
I know what you guys will be doing later.
They all laughed, and then Mia said,
Hey, where's the champagne? We need to get our drink on.
The men groaned, but there wasn't a single one who didn't have a smug gleam in his eyes. Yeah, they knew what they were getting later. Josie hoped to have her own after-party romp between the sheets with Ash. He'd been exceedingly gentle and patient during her recovery. She'd eventually had to jump him because he'd refused to so much as touch her, much less have sex with her, until he was absolutely certain she was healed. And he still hadn't done more than make sweet, exquisite love to her. Not that she was complaining, but she was eager to resume a normal sexual relationship with her dominant man. She could see in his eyes the desire not to remind her of what had happened. He'd been extremely careful, worried that he would somehow be correlated with the assault on her. But she loved that edge, that fine line between too far and not enough. She wanted it back. Wanted him to lose his tightly held control and to unleash his dark hungers on the both of them. She shivered just thinking about it. Tonight, definitely tonight, she'd give him no option. She wanted everything he could give her. Wanted to feel the snap of leather against her ass. Wanted him to tie her up and have his wicked way with her. She wanted Ash back. I'm going to steal Josie and take her around the room. I want to introduce her to a few people. Drink up and we'll be back in a few minutes, Ash said. The girls waved and then turned back to their own men, who were more than happy to get them back. Ash led her through the crowd, stopping and introducing her to people she could barely stammer hello to. She was tongue-tied and had no idea what to say to the people who gushed about her work. She'd never dreamed that anyone would be that excited over her paintings, and she had Ash to thank.
Thank you,
she whispered, slipping her arm around his waist as they threaded back through the crowd.
This is the most awesome night of my life.
Glad you're enjoying yourself, darling. This is your night to shine. But don't worry, because there will be many more. Judging by how fast your paintings have sold, you're going to be in high demand. I may regret doing this because you're going to be spending all your time painting and you'll forget all about me. She laughed and hugged him tighter.
No chance of that. You'll always come first, Ash.
He kissed her, long and lingeringly, uncaring of the people in the crowded ballroom. She sighed, blissfully happy. So much had happened over the last 2 months. She'd been released from the hospital after having to stay for nearly 2 weeks. The police had questioned her and Ash, this time with his lawyer present. They had also questioned Gabe and Jace and had combed through Ash's life, leaving no stone unturned. But there had been nothing to find. Then they'd turned their attention to Charles Willis's business practices, and it was there that they'd struck a gold mine. He'd stolen from numerous people, embezzled money, set up fake accounts. He'd billed for work, never done, and at least 3 offshore accounts had been discovered with millions of dollars in stolen money. Worse was the people he'd stolen from. They weren't exactly the legitimate businessmen that Ash and his partners were. They were not the kind of people you steal from because, if discovered, it wasn't jail time you had to worry about. As Charles had no doubt discovered far too late, he even had ties to the mob, and Josie hadn't even realized the mob still existed outside of books and movies. The police had investigated one man in particular, convinced that he was behind Charles's murder, but had been frustrated by their inability to pin anything on him. As a result, the case was still open, but Ash was no longer a suspect. Josie had breathed much easier when the police backed off. She knew Ash hadn't been directly behind Charles's death, but he had been involved to an extent. But, as he'd promised that day in the hospital, they never spoke of it again, and she didn't ask. Maybe that made her just as murky and gray as Ash thought he was himself. But she couldn't spare any real remorse over Charles's death. He'd hurt a lot of people, and she could have died from the beating she'd received. She was ready to move on with her life, with Ash.
I have something I want to ask you, baby,
Ash murmured next to her ear. She looked up, curious as to why he sounded so serious all of a sudden.
Jace and Bethany have asked if we want to get married with them. A double wedding. I told them I'd discuss it with you. It's something they'd really like. Jace is impatient and wants the wedding to be soon, but I don't want us to do it with them if you want or need more time. If you want your own big day separate from theirs, I understand. I want it to be special for you.
But what about you?
Josie asked softly.
What do you want?
Ash smiled. All I want out of the deal is you. Nothing else matters. Don't care where it happens or when.
though I'm not a fan of waiting very long. I want you to have my name, for me to know you're legally mine. How we do it doesn't matter.
I think it would be really special to share a wedding with Jason, Bethany, she murmured. He's your best friend, and I adore Bethany. Let's do it.
You okay with getting married soon? Ash asked. Jace wants it done as soon as possible. He thought about hitting a beach somewhere, maybe go to Bora Bora and get married on the sand.
That sounds so romantic, she sighed. I don't care when or where either, Ash. I just want to be married to you. Anything else is just icing on the cake.
He kissed her again. Let's go tell them then. We need to celebrate. She hooked her arm through his as they made their way back to where their friends stood together across the room. Their friends. Not just Ash's. These people were hers, too. And it filled her heart with warmth. Brittany was over the moon with Kai. She'd already moved to Vegas with him, but they visited the city often. Josie was glad that Ash had at least his sister. The rest of his family had backed off after he'd called his grandmother.